differences and that kind of thing. And so it's been something that's kind of intrigued me, but I'm not real versed at everything. And you ever have those times where you you know that you met someone for a specific purpose? Well, this morning we have a special guest with us, and I had opportunity to meet John Ensworth a few months ago. But then even more importantly than that, we went up to the men's retreat for the Gateway District. And the two of us just had a wonderful time just talking. But I got to do a lot of question asking, and he did a lot of answering. And I probably made his ears bleed with all the questions that I had. But I came to realize that there is purpose for all the stuff in the heavens. And John is going to share with us today. So you need to warm up your pens. Make sure that your ears are loose and your heart's receptive. And so I'd like you to welcome with me John Ensworth.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir. It's good to have you up here.
Great.
John works with NASA, and he is a part of our congregation. I'm so excited to have him share with you this morning. So I really want you to get prepared. This is going to be great. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Hi, before I get jumping into this, do you need to explain that there's more PowerPoints today than you're going to normally get in a Sunday service. Now, I checked, and movies go by at about 30 frames a second, so it won't be that bad. So. All right, so we're going to start out that with the verse that he had there, Psalm 19, 1 through 2, that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. So we're going to look into the possibility that there's a spiritual depth and the astronomical backings to this. So is there a gospel in the stars? That's what we're going to look at. And just playing with this and looking at this over the years, I think that astrology, which probably everyone here is familiar with it somewhat, is a twist on the good news of the gospel, that you have to start with some truth, I guess, when you're Satan, and you need to give it a little bend and leave the rest of it there, but it makes it viable. You just change the purpose by just a little bit. So, is there truth in astrology? Well, what I'm going to try to show here is that God placed the meanings of the patterns in the stars on men's hearts. That when people looked up across the world as civilization spread out and got established, they kind of thought the same things. They saw the same creatures and figures. And that was not just an accident. That was a little bit more than that. And that may also play into Hebrews 11, that you have the hall of faith, as people call it, where you have people who look forward to the coming of the Lord, the coming of the plan of salvation being revealed. So I'm going to read a big chunk here. This is in Jeremiah 31, 33 through 37. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says, he who appoints the sun to shine by day and decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. This is what the Lord says, if only the heavens above can be measured and the foundation of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all that they have done, declares the Lord. All right, so what is astrology? Who wants to jump in with, yeah, what's astrology? The study of space? Close, you're thinking of a different word. It's very similar. Astrology? Yeah. Yep, the story of how stars affect our lives. Yeah, it's you've heard of people posting their horoscope, and I guess you can do it very easily on Facebook too. And it's a belief that the position of the sun, moon, and planets, these all move through the stars, tell you about what's to come in your life, or maybe what your personality will be if you're looking at what was happening in the sky when you were born. And what you normally see in the newspaper is based on the sun. See where the sun is. But people really get into it, use everything else possible to try to do it. It's not a science. Astronomy is the science. We try to put cause and effect together and make sense of that. The reason I say it's not a science is because if you run it backwards, it doesn't work. If you say, well, I'm a Cancer, then, oh, you must be outgoing and good at parties and things like that. But no one's ever come up with a 100-question personality test where you go, okay, answer A, I get quiet at parties, I like bananas, and then you score it at the end and say, oh, you must be a Leo. No one's ever done that backwards. So it doesn't work that way. I actually search online, and there's things that to try that, but then they say, what's your favorite sign, and what month were you born in? Well, you're cheating. That's not... right. So what is astrology? Well, in the Bible, the zodiac is often written as Maseroth. I've got the NIV version at the bottom here. Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons and lead out the bear with its cubs? The Amplified, it actually uses the term zodiac. Can you lead forth the signs of the zodiac in their season? So before jumping in, not everybody may know all these words. That's all right. So I'm going to define just a few of these, and then we're going to need them as we look at the gospel and the stars, because this was made for people who were very familiar with the sky. And we have streetlights and roofs and big screen TVs that keep us from going out at night and looking up and seeing that stuff. So go camping and go take a look. But so let's see. Constellations are a pattern in the stars. And there are 88 of them now, but that was sort of a modern astronomy thing. You can see the pictures on the left here show the figures and the artistic. And early star charts look like that. More modern star charts kind of get down to business and just show you the boundaries and where they are. A conjunction in the sky is when two things get close to each other. It doesn't really matter how close that is. I mean, if you go, hey, that looks pretty close. Hey, you just had a conjunction. So that was it. So that's not very technical. A very important idea, though, is what the zodiac is. And the zodiac translates in Greek to circle of animals. Well, they're not all animals, but most of them are. And I'm actually going to use a laser pointer, so hang on here. I know. So this little red circle right here is the orbit of the Earth going around the sun. And the way we get, thank you very much, the way we get your sign is that we take where we are in the Earth's orbit, look through the sun, and see what's behind the sun. And I know that's kind of strange. You can't see constellations when the sun is up, but you can figure out what's there. So that's how astrology was originally set down about 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. And we've got the 12 constellations all the way around. Just a little aside, it's not exactly accurate anymore. There's a wobble on the Earth that's messed this up now. It's about a constellation and a half off. So if you're born in Gemini, you're actually almost an Aries. So. It'll be fine in about 20,000 years. So it'll be right back to where it should be. All right, so this path, you see that you got the Earth going around in a nice flat circle. All the other planets and the moon and everything also roll around in the solar system like BBs on a plate. And so they're all rolled around this flat area. And so this path through the constellations is given the term the ecliptic. It's the path of the sun and moon and planets. If you're going to go out at night and look for these things, you don't have to look just everywhere in the sky to see if you can find one. You just need to look in one specific line. So instead of 88 zodiac signs, you have only 12. It narrows it down a lot. All right, so it could darken a little bit more. I got a few of these slides are really light sensitive here. So this kind of puts it all together here. Here is the ecliptic, this dotted line going around here. So that's the path of the sun and moon and planets around the Earth from our point of view. Now the Earth is tilted. And so if you draw a line from the equator up into the sky, you get this solid line going around like this. That gives us seasons. those two lines were the same, it would be spring all the time, which would be kind of cool. But yeah, no winter, no, wouldn't change. You'd have the same overall season all the time. So that's an important little tilt to us, but the thing that gives us a starting point in looking at the gospel and the stars is the vernal equinox right here. Vernal equinox is where the sun is on the first day of spring. It's an important day. I mean, you've been through the winter, it's snow, it's cold, you have salt on your carriage from all winter long, and now the sun is coming up, and for the first time, the days are a little bit longer, temperature's starting to get warmer, and from astrological times to astronomical times, we count that as the zero point in the sky. It's zero, zero, everything starts there. So the vernal equinox is a really important point, and we'll get back to that more in just a moment. So we would expect that multiple peoples around the world would see these figures or wouldn't do very well to tell about the gospel. So let's go through these zodiac signs and see what we can see and how it actually tells the story of the gospel. We've got 12 constellations. We're going to break them into groups of four. And the first group tells us about the nature of Christ, his work, and his triumph over Satan, sin, and death. And we start with Virgo, the Virgin Mary. In Egypt, this was Isis, was queen of stars to the Chaldeans, one of Solomon's wives. In India, it was a female goddess. They all saw a woman here. And this is the birth of Christ with the Virgin Mary. Next one is Libra, the balance, the justice of justice in human affairs, as well as the balanced arrangement of nature's laws. And this is the false gospel. This is the lie that's out there that everyone kind of defaults into. And that is that if you do more good works than you do bad, you're going to go to heaven, or something horrible is not going to happen to you if you don't have something that specific in mind. Good works, bad works, false doctrine. And the next constellation is Scorpius, who's got its claws wrapped in the sky towards the scale there. Scorpius is the scorpion, and it's been seen as a scorpion in many different cultures. It is the deadly foe. It is Satan. It is the sting of death. This is the foe that Jesus conquered. So the next one is our first picture of Christ. Constellations that have sort of two natures to them reflect him. He is both 100% man, 100% God. And so Sagittarius is a half man, half horse. So if you watch the Chronicles of Narnia, you've got Centaur there. And he is firing an arrow into the heart of death. This is an archer. He's shown always firing his bow and arrow right into the scorpion. Okay, next group of four constellations shows the fruits of Christ's finished work, his position as our mediator, and the relationship between Christ and his church. Capricorn, it's a half goat, half fish, so you've got another half-half thing, so you've got another picture of Christ. And as a goat, or seen also as an ox, you have the idea of the sacrifice now, the sacrificial lamb that Jesus was and is for all time, and his Holy Spirit. When you have water involved now, you have the entry of his Holy Spirit into the story. And the next few constellations are all based on water. Aquarius is the next one. This is the source of living water, his Holy Spirit. This has also been linked to Noah's flood. What's really interesting is a Chinese emperor who reigned during a great flood also named it for a flood. So you have water, you have his spirit. Pisces the fish. We have another water and Holy Spirit constellation. This has been seen as two fish through many different civilizations, and this is also the age that we're in, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, but this is a sign for our times, and you might have a descendant of this constellation on the back of your car right now. So, Aries, the ram, is a ram on an altar. And this is showing again his sacrifice for all. The final sacrifice that he is the high and elevated deliverer, because Aries is about as high in the sky as you can get. The scorpion and Sagittarius, the archer, were down at the lowest part of the sky you can get, akin to descending to hell to do battle, as he did before Easter. Our final four constellations tell us of the great judgment and the conclusion of God's plan for the sinful world. You have Taurus the bull, seen as a bull or in a number of different stories there. This is a picture of his resurrection. Scorpius is setting in the west. It's going down just as Taurus is coming up. So away goes death, not to be seen again, and here is Taurus. It's also only half a bull. It's pointing out to the east. It's a rising up out of the altar. It's the next thing to rise in the sky out of the altar. So sacrifice, death, and risen again on the third day. Gemini, the twins, you got another picture of Christ because you have two things going on here. And Castor, the star at the top of that, is known as the judge and coming ruler to a number of different groups. Pollux is the strong one coming to labor, or a fighter even. This is also interpreted as Christ in the church is one. Cancer is probably one of the strangest ones to people. Why would you name a constellation Cancer? But it's a crab. But what's important is this star cluster. It's one of the better star clusters you can just see with your eyes. And this has been known as the seed, or the stall in the crib and manger, the multitude, the innumerable seed, or just the Israelites. And this is the ultimate fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. This little star cluster shows the innumerable descendants that God promised. And then finally, Leo the lion. The lion again through one of the older constellations, a lion through many different civilizations. The king, the lion of the house of Judah, in the end of the series and the end of time. And we're back to Virgo. So we've gone all the way through the gospel in the sky there. Now, there's more detail that you can pull out of this. There's still more in here. It's just like the Bible says, you just keep unpacking. But Pisces could be the origin of this symbol, the ichthys. And the vernal equinox, remember that? Where the sun is on the equator, first day of spring, was just drifting into Pisces about the time that Christ was born. And now is getting to the other end. It takes about 2,100 years or so to drift through, because the, like I said, the Earth kind of wobbles like a top, a 24,000-year wobble that has messed up the constellations. And this is where the song, the Dawning of the Age of Aquarius, comes from. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Everybody knows it. And basically, that's a rah-rah cheer song that we get rid of this age of Pisces, this age of Christ. We're done with it. It's time for man to do everything. Well, that's pretty much the call in the world out there. So not the best song, maybe, but it's catchy. The stars also tell us where Easter fits in the calendar. The Hebrew calendar was a lunar-solar combination calendar. We have a solar calendar, so we have the same days happen every year. Christmas is always on the 25th of December. But in the early church, they argued over whether we should celebrate Easter on the Passover or on Sunday. And different parts of the church did different things. And then someone said, why don't we do the first Sunday after Passover? Like, oh, okay, well, that works. So it is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the moment the sun is on the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. And it can go all the way from March 22nd to April 25th. And so this year was one day short of the latest that it possibly can be, because it takes about 29 days for the moon to go around. So if you hit it wrong, you got to wait that whole 29 days to happen. Right, if the Star of Bethlehem was not a supernatural miracle, which certainly could be, I'm not going to step against that, but we have some more interesting astronomical connections here. The Magi, the three wise men who trekked out to see baby Jesus, were actually in the Zoroastrian religion. They were Zoroastrian priests. They were astrologers. We actually get the word magic and magician from them. And all these secrets of how they read the sky were that. They were secrets that were only known to the priesthood and how things moved and looped around and things like that. And what we see happening just before the time of the birth of Christ, just a few years before, they didn't have airplanes, so it took a while to get from where they were over to Bethlehem. But we see a rare triple conjunction of Jupiter. And remember, everything has meaning, so Jupiter, they even then knew was the king of planets. Now we know it's the biggest planet in the solar system. And Saturn, which was known as the harvester or reaper, in the constellation Pisces, the house of the Hebrew. It's also the age that we're in, the age of Pisces. So this reads, as the harvester has come, the king of Hebrews is arriving at the dawn of the age of Pisces. And so they would get very excited and head out and see that. So if you could really drop the lights, this is the one that needs lights after this. So Jupiter and Saturn, over the course of a year, looped. They loop because we pass them in space. It's just like going down the highway and you see a slow truck in the right lane and you're driving up, you're doing 5 miles per over the speed limit, and you see the truck, it's going forward, definitely, but eventually it seems to stop and then go backwards past you. And then if you keep speeding down the road and you look back in your rearview mirror, you can see the truck is still going forward. So it's just us passing planets that are going slower than us. All right, so this is why we need darkness here, because this is a pretty dim little map here. So here is the sun on the vernal equinox, March 22nd, 7 BC. The green line is the ecliptic, and there is planets, planet, 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 sun. So good, they're right where they should be on the ecliptic. Here's the Earth's equator that I showed you before. We're going to leave Jupiter right in the center. Here's Pisces right back here. This big V, so the sun is in Pisces on the vernal equinox. It's moved over now. And here's Saturn over here. So when the time here vanishes, keep your eye on Saturn. A little dot's going to pass Jupiter and then come back. And the word Saturn goes away, and I just couldn't get to not do that. So here we go. Here comes Saturn passing. Now it's below. There's Saturn right below Jupiter. Here's Saturn coming up, passing Jupiter. And there's Saturn passing it again. And here comes Mars, and there's the sun. A whole year has gone by. And some even say that Mars joining the thing in the end there again shows that warriors come to do battle against sin. So let's do it one more time. And keep your eye on the little dot. So there's Saturn right there. Passing, there it is below Jupiter, passing again, and passing again. All right, well, these are pretty rare, having triple conjunctions happen at all, and I spent a day playing with my astronomy software, finding out that they happen about every 500 years, or a little bit less. And a couple of these back here, you can bring the lights up a little bit, 980 BC and 861 BC were also in Pisces, but they happened before the Zoroastrian religion, with its prophecy of what would happen to the Hebrews someday, came into existence. So the first one that happened while they were around was 7 BC, and we've had more of these in other constellations since. So the Bible does mention other constellations like Orion and Taurus and the star cluster of the Pleiades. In Job 38, the zodiac is described. Psalm 147, God calls the stars by name. Genesis 1, of course, the purpose of the stars is described as demarking day and night and seasons and sacred times. Romans 1, we find out he tells us that a foolish man, where he has traded the glory and majesty of a mortal God with representations of mortal man, birds, beasts, and reptiles, which also sounds like a what we're doing up in the sky here if you start looking at astrology and looking at your horoscope as being something other than telling of Christ's coming. But we have even another fascinating connection here between God's plans and the signs of the zodiac, and that is back to the Maseroth and the 12 tribes of Israel. They were each linked to a different constellation. And this is where I had an aha moment just a couple days ago putting this together, because I couldn't figure out how these actually connected, because this also relates to how they were told to camp in the wilderness around the tabernacle with the Levi in the center. So these placements actually go to Ezekiel 1:10, his vision, and I'll read Revelation 4:7. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And going to that chart there, the tribe of Judah was told to camp on the east side. This is Leo the lion. Dan on the north, it was an eagle. Ephraim on the west is a calf, and Reuben on the south was man. And so it was pretty easy for me to go, okay, well, I see a pattern here. Calf could be Taurus, and man could be Aquarius, and lion is obviously Leo. And so each one is actually two constellations apart. You go Leo, two constellations, and to the next one, and two constellations, the next one. The one that didn't match was Dan, an eagle. Like Scorpio is definitely a scorpion, and it's not an eagle, but I just did a quick Google, and suddenly, boom, all these astrological sites said, you know, that in this ancient civilization, it was an eagle. In the Native Americans, it was an eagle. I was like, oh, boy, okay. So, and when you look at the numbers that the Bible tells us were camped, you get a cross. Pretty shocking. So I wasn't expecting that at all. So is astrology good for telling you the future? I'd say not. I'd say it's done. Our heavenly body is something to worship. Well, one interpretation of the Tower of Babel was where they say in Genesis 11, we come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Could also be unto the heavens or dedicated to the heavens. And so it may have been not just to get really high, because I guess they could have climbed mountains and got high too, but they were setting up to maybe worship these things. And again, tell futures other than that that relates between Christ and mankind. So are they essential in telling the gospel now? Well, maybe so to some remote people, but now we have his word. We have a book. We have books on tape. We have iPhones with the Bible on it. We have his word in front of us. We know the gospel in many other ways. So I think that except in those remote cases, that time is done. Now you can just see how he has done it. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So this exploration was of the connection between the gospel and other things that the Lord has done, linking to the stars, is just to maybe peel back some deception that is out there, that there is a Savior, and he died, and it's been in the stars since long before anyone was talking about it, ready to go. All right. So want to follow this up with, in just a couple weeks, an opportunity for you to come out to actually see the stars and look at these constellations. We have a little observatory in Berthoud High School up in Berthoud, Colorado, Saturday the 14th from 8 to 10 p.m. And I have some sign-up sheets on the table out in the back hallway there, so you can put your name down like that. If it's cloudy or rainy, we'll still have it, because we can still do a lot of activities inside and play with constellations and talk about astronomy and things like that. The thing that stuck in my mind the most while putting this together was that false doctrine that That there is, if just a good person, this just blends perfectly into Pastor Craig's message on Easter. So if you're just a good person, that's enough. If your balance is, your good-o-meter is better than your bad-o-meter, then you're in. And it's been up there for thousands and thousands of years that's Satan's tool. That's his gospel. That isn't real. So, come on.
Thank you so much, John. Now you can see why I didn't want to go to bed when we were at camp. And I want to really encourage you also on the 14th. It's amazing to just sit and watch him, because I can look up and see the little white dots in the sky like probably most of you can. But when he starts taking that little green laser and like pointing them out, you can actually see them. I was like, wow, they're really there. And so it makes so much sense. But here's the thing. A lot of information today, right? I love the fact that it all points right to the cross. Amen? And I just think that, you know, as we start thinking about this, and man has really tweaked the whole horoscope thing, and it just points to Jesus. And so I want to make sure that everybody, that's a decision that you make today, that even the heavens declare God's glory. The stars, they're perfectly placed exactly where they need to be. They moved around the sun back and forth to point people to Christ and to go to worship him. It's just amazing. God knew what he was doing. Amen? Mm-hmm. So would you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer and...